Good morning from Kingston, New York, and welcome to the Week Ahead podcast for Tuesday, the 21st of September. This was supposed to be the September 20th edition. I was busy doing videos all day. More about that in half a second. In today's edition, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the equinox chart. The autumnal equinox, as it's called here in the Northern Hemisphere, is September 22nd. That would be Wednesday at 3:20 and 58 seconds, hence 3:21 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. All times in this podcast are Eastern Daylight. I have been doing video lately, which is the metamorphosis reading. You can find a video about that. I did a half-hour video talking about what I would be doing with the rest of the week long in preparation, a 12-sign video reading called Metamorphosis. You can find the preview video either on the Planet Waves YouTube channel, or if you go to planetwaves.net and click on the StarCast link, you'll see the video is pretty close to the top of the page. These are readings that take us out through the rest of the year, and that also are preparation for Pluto in Aquarius, as much of the long-range work that I've been doing this year is preparation for Pluto in Aquarius. And then, additionally, I am focusing on a kind of a local manifestation of what that's about, which is the triple conjunction of retrograde Mercury plus Mars plus the Sun in Libra, an exact triple conjunction, which takes place on the 8th and the 9th of October coming up. Mercury is about to be retrograde. That starts in about 5 days. I'll keep you posted as to developments about that, and really would like to devote an entire StarCast program to that. For now, let's take a look at this equinox chart. It is interesting. The Sun tomorrow on Wednesday will join Mars and Mercury, the well-known planets in Libra. Mars hanging out at about 5 degrees and Mercury at about 24.5 degrees of Libra. So that's a lot of energy in a sign that is a kind of chameleon. Libra has a shape-shifting quality, perhaps seen only as good as done well by Pisces. Libra has an incredible ability to conceal itself, to present itself at full strength, and then basically dance around on the spectrum anywhere in between. I think of Libra as the human blowtorch. If you have a blowtorch on the table in your workshop or kitchen, in case you're making a flambé or a creme brulee, you can turn that blowtorch down so low that you could put the flame out with your finger just by tapping it, even though it's hot blue flame. One quick tap will extinguish it. Or you can turn it up all the way, and it will, do anything you want it to do based on how much fuel you have in there. So Libra's a little bit like that. You can turn it all the way down, it can turn itself, or it can turn itself all the way up. Study Libra musicians, artists, and rock stars to see some of the some of this property coming forth. One of the most interesting things about this chart is the conjunction of Mars and a minor planet called Logos. This is going to take place over the next week or so. Mars is at 5 degrees. Logos is about 8 degrees. So this is an applying, meaning it is still forming, it is developing, it is happening at the time of our freeze frame chart, our moment in time that we're choosing to study, which is the moment that the Sun enters the cardinal sign Libra. The autumn begins in the west, here in the Western calculus of that. And there was one more thought that I forgot. But anyway, when we study the chart of a quarter or a cross-quarter day, these days being often used either for divination or as divination. So to use the chart of the equinox as a divinatory tool would be to use the equinox as divination. So we look at these planets and we can get a sense of what is brewing and possibly make some forecasts or predictions. Not my favorite thing to do, but potentially quite relevant in our moment. We find that Mars, this planet that actually rules the sign opposite Libra, Aries, is in Libra, and it is in Libra approaching a conjunction to a point called Logos. Now, Logos is a minor planet. It's a classical Kuiper object, orbit of about 300 years, so it's also called a Cubewano, or classical Kuiper object, just past Pluto. Pluto's got a 250-year orbit, and the Cubewanos usually range from about 295 to 310-year orbits, and there's quite a few of them, but Logos is one of the more, I think, elegant ones. You'll never hear astrologers talk about it much. They tend to stick to the main highways. I prefer to spend some time riding my motorcycle on the back roads. I live up in the country here. Logos is not exactly philosophically a back road. Logos is the root, the word root of everything from logic to astrology. And so anything with that L-O-G encrypted into the word is relying on a framework. It's relying on a conceptual, philosophical, intellectual, linguistic framework. And that framework tends to set all of the divinations, all of the definitions that we live with. It is our concept of what it means to think, to be, to reason. And what is, so this is a long-term visitor to Libra, first of all. That's an important thing to remember. It's only at about eight degrees of the sign. To be exact, at the time of the equinox, it's at 8 degrees and 18 minutes. So it's got at least another decade or more in Libra. So it's a long-term visitor where, it's for most practical purposes, it's here to stay. And what we are seeing in our time of the complete takeover of digital technology, and by that I mean you can order your pizza based on your pizza profile at local Joe's Pizzeria on the corner, and you can't quite have it delivered by drone yet, but then while you're ordering your pizza, you can also be ordering your 5,000 part tool set from Amazon or a shed or something. So that's one way that digital has taken over. Everything we do, we do through digital, but it's also taking over our consciousness, and it is changing the logos of humanity. It's changing our process of identifying who we are, of reasoning, and it is responsible. Digital technology and all of these new devices and new media are responsible for the breakdown of intellect and the destabilization of society worldwide. People wonder how can something like mandates over a cold virus take over the entire planet in 3 weeks? How is that possible? And that's kind of a silly question, because the infrastructure is there, the framework is there. It's possible to email the sequence of a virus from Wuhan to Washington, D.C. at approximately the speed of light, and it's easy to be halfway around the world before logic and reasoning has their boots on. And so we live in this world where our concepts of geography, well, I was going to say geometry and geology, all of which are subject to complete revision and rearrangement. And the internal counterpart to this, that the softened up territory that's making it possible, is that this thing that we previously relied on called logos does not exist. Language has become imprecise. Logic is no longer a thing that is relied upon. You can be called a conspiracy theorist for using logic. I mean, that's one heck of a conspiracy, going all the way back to Aristotle or further. And so when you don't have that, when someone is missing that internal framework, it is possible to make very strange presuppositions and decisions and come to observations that are simply not true because there's no reference set. There's no set of rules, and Logos represents those internally maintained rules, that that internal psychic infrastructure that allows there to be a reasoning process. Mars is conjunct this in this equinox chart, and that is saying, let's get busy on the use of thinking. You need Logos to think. It is what we think of when we think of thinking. Now, speaking of chaos, the prize-winning, most interesting aspect in the equinox chart is a T-square between Pluto and Eris, two slow movers. We've talked about them before. Eris, a very slow mover, 550 years. Pluto, a slow mover, 248 years. They're both very slow movers. Anything that takes more than one human lifetime to go around the sun is a very slow mover. And they are in a long square. This is a waning square. It's the last quarter moon equivalent of the product of a conjunction, by the way, that happened in 1756. The last time that Pluto and Eris were conjunct was 20 years before the American Revolution. I show this chart in my video for Metamorphosis to emphasize the importance of this aspect. Pluto square Eris, very, very chaotic, potentially toxic, and it is the it's another image of the crack up breakdown of logic. Reasoning, even memory, is not what it used to be. The internet's completely distorted memory frees all the ability of the internet to preserve things seemingly forever. In the digital environment, there is this very strange way that things just seem to drop down the memory hole. So we've got this long square going on for all of 2020. It actually started around the 22nd of January, 2020. So that's a year and a half into this. It is exact in this chart. It's within arc minutes, six arc minutes, 1/10 of 1 degree exactitude. Mercury then enters the scene. Mercury is coming in from Libra. So we've got a Mercury-Pluto-Eris square. And then, so that this really drags in the mind and consciousness and awareness, and then the moon comes swooping through in the early evening of the equinox, and the moon in Aries makes a conjunction to Eris in opposition to Mercury and a square to Pluto. This is an intense equinox chart, and this equinox season only gets more interesting and more exciting. Again, I cover this in the video with the forthcoming triple conjunction of Mercury retrograde plus Mars plus the Sun, all of which takes place on the 8th and the 9th of October. This Sun conjunction to two planets at the same time means that the Mars-Sun cycle and the Mercury-Sun cycle are overlapping one another. They've basically merged right now and become one cycle. And if you'll notice, communication has become extremely aggressive. I track this back to 2018. It'll be an interesting study to look at public discourse and the, let's say, the appropriateness of venting rage on your neighbors. The thing that I'm the most concerned about with all of this activity in Libra is that we strive to understand the impact of global events on our most intimate and personal partnerships. I don't believe we're looking at this carefully enough, and I don't believe that we're looking at wide global events carefully enough, but I think that really, as often happens, we're missing the impact of all of these changes, all of this aggressive behavior, most of it coming out of high-tech and biotech on our most intimate private experiences, including in the bedroom, including who is allowed at the dinner table, and including how we speak to our neighbors and what it is possible to accuse someone of or be accused of. Stay tuned. I'll be back shortly I'll be back shortly with another edition of StarCast. Signing off, From Kingston, New York, this is Eric Francis.